Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And where in the hell is Shane? That's what I'd like to know. As I'm sure you're all wondering. Cousin Shane, I think he quit the show or something. Not doing the morning show. Not here on time. He did tell me, you know, everybody, Yahoo's hiring Josh Pate and all these people. Maybe they hired Cousin Shane. I'm not sure. But I'm kidding. Maybe he's going to break the news here. Shane said he's going to be about 10 minutes late here. So I figured, what the heck? We run on a tight schedule here. I didn't want you guys to be sitting here in the dark for 10 minutes. So maybe fire away with any questions you have. And maybe that's how we could kill some time before Cousin Shane hopefully jumps on here. Yeah, Cousin Eddie says, Shane hitting that pecan pie. Hook'em says his neighbor caught him using the Wi-Fi. that's awesome. Corrections 101, member for a month. Appreciate you, Corrections. Come back to us, Cousin Shane, my buffet brother, Boomer. Gunner says, did you get a check from Netflix? Well, it's funny you ask, Gunner. I was going to play this clip. This is basically word for word how it happened. Anybody that missed it on a Paul Feinbaum show, he was asked about this. And here's the story straight from Paul Feinbaum.
And, well, my overall question is, I'm sure you got paid huge sum of money to do this. Did Michael Bratton have to pay them to get on this? I mean,
The truth is, they asked me, they said, listen, we need a guy to play a clown on the show. And, okay. It came down to two people and I suggested Bratton.
So there you go. That's how I got on the Netflix thing. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for making a clown of me on national television. Travis, why do you hate Florida, Mike? Travis must be new to this damn show because, you know, let him know, cousins. Who on here all damn season or off season has been saying Florida and the over is a lock? Who's got DJ Lagway as one of the best players in the country? I actually do got DJ. I was all off season debating number one or number two in terms of SEC quarterback, but I ended up putting Lenore Sellers number one, but DJ a close second. Here's why I'm not sold on Florida. And if you're sold on this guy, that's your own damn fault. Billy Napier, Sunbelt Billy. I don't understand how anyone could be enthusiastic about this guy in terms of Saturday. I mean, he is just one coaching issue after the other. He does a hell of a job recruiting and building a team, but he can't seemingly put it all together on Saturday, which is a huge, huge issue for me. And again, if you think otherwise, maybe you're new to Florida football because seemingly every coach they got down there has done a better job than Billy Napier, yet we give him a pass for some reason I'll never know. Benny, what team should be ranked? I wanted to pick Cousin Shane's brain on that. So we will get to that here in a minute. I saw another really good question. Well, it's not really a question. Liquid says Shane started his own pod, Cracker Barrels. Jimbo says I look like a professional. I had to lie to him to get on that show. So that was all part of it. Pooh Bear, I like his question. Does revenue sharing? So what he's talking about there, in case you missed it. Again, we don't do a deep dive on all this stuff because I don't know about you guys, but I find this kind of like tedious at this point in time. But the 20-some-odd million that all these SEC schools and really any Power 5 school has to spend on talent, that's what he's talking about here. Does that stop the firing of head coaches and more about firing coordinators to save money? Sam Pittman, an example. And Sam Pittman could be a good example because now all of a sudden Arkansas's got to come up with 20-some-odd million dollars to pay athletes. So yeah, I certainly think that plays a factor. I think what's really helping a lot of these coaches is they all have the same damn agent, Jimmy Sexton, or another guy, Trace Armstrong. I mean, it seemingly they're all with one or the other. But these agents have all got these ADs over a barrel. And I don't know why these ADs agree to these insane buyouts, But Brent Venables, and we called it out at the time, I mean, that was asinine. He had one good year. Let's give him a $40 million buyout. Sooner fans, go check the video. It's still live on our channel. They said, well, is that even much of a pay bump? Why, you know, we believe in Brent. And then six games into last season, they wanted his ass fired, but they couldn't do it because he had a $40 million buyout. Same thing with Mark Stoops. Again, Stoops has put in the time. He built Kentucky up. I get it. So maybe that's not exactly apples to apples, but his buyout's insane. Brian Kelly's is like $70 million for some odd reason. I think it was part of the deal of getting him down there. But this is foolishness. We don't have to give these guys crazy buyouts. They're not worth it. There's about two or three of them that are worth these insane buyouts. And none of the guys I just referenced are. And Billy Napier is just as bad. I think his is hovering around $30 million. For what? Because he won us eight games last year? I mean, it's ridiculous. So the revenue sharing is a big reason why Billy Napier's still the coach in Gainesville today. So, Gunner says, Mike, you're my favorite clown. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that boost of confidence here as we wait on Shane. Mysterious. Mike basically just shitting on BK and Freeze the whole show. Yes, indeed. Yes, they let me be unfiltered on Netflix, and there you go. Paul said he held back so that I could go full force on that thing. So I do appreciate that. Man, this seems like an eternity waiting on Shane here, doesn't it? Any other questions? I feel like I missed some good ones here. Is this the end of the road for Brent Venables if he doesn't get to a bowl game? College sportscast. Yes, of course. I mean, if he did a bowl game, Oklahoma should be competing for the college football playoff, not competing for six wins. I know the schedule's tough. I mean, people, that's just a damn excuse, though. You know, what is Steve Spurrier used to say? They have to play us. We don't have to play them. That should be every Florida fan, LSU fan, Oklahoma, South Carolina, all these teams with really, really tough schedules. It ain't the schedule's too damn hard, so let's make an excuse for this, that, and the other. You should be saying they got to play us. And that's what I want to hear. So yeah, if Brent Venables doesn't make a bowl, isn't that the question? Hell yeah. I'd run his ass off. I don't even think he'd be there now if he didn't have a $40 million buyout. I really do believe. Now what they did, instead of paying the buyout, you bring in better players, better coordinator. And you know, that's what Oklahoma's trying to do. We'll see if it pays off. But I'll tell you what will pay off. Colin, the Coxman, just gifted a membership. Shout out, Colin. Appreciate you, buddy. Let me see who you gifted it to real quick here. I think he did that for all the nice things I said about the Gamecocks on the Netflix show. Da, 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 da. Oh, Joe Rogan. I don't know if it's the Joe Rogan, but Joe, welcome to the family, courtesy of Colin the Coxman. Coxman, Rogan. Maybe that is the right Joe Rogan. Yeah, Liquid. Thank you, Liquid. Mike's been hyping Florida since January. What the hell? I don't understand where these people, maybe they just tune in one show and I say something bad, but I couldn't be any higher on Florida. I mean, I think Florida is like borderline college football playoff this year, which I don't even think many people are touting that. Yeah, Shane is the one that hates Florida. He hates him with a passion, mostly because they made him walk. He hates any kind of exercise, but having to do the walking after Tennessee lost to the Swamp, that's a big part of where Shane's hatred comes from. How about this one? Another from College Sportscast. Is Mark Stoops done if he has another year like last year? Unfortunately, I don't. It's not a given. It should be, I think, because they've been so bad. And this could be the worst team yet, but I don't know. Let's look at Kentucky's schedule. I think they're saying all the right things. They're backing them. You know, they're trying to find their identity, yada, yada, yada. If they lose to Toledo, which Stoops has come out here and said, hey, we're not overlooking Toledo. I mean, seriously, what other SEC coach is getting asked? Are you overlooking Toledo? Because you got Ole Miss week two, but that's a serious question he's been asked. But here's where it'll really change, in my opinion, for Kentucky. Come October 18th, Texas comes to town. October 25th, Tennessee comes to town. November 8th, Florida comes to town. If you are a Kentucky fan, a season ticket holder, or just picking a couple games that you really want to attend, those have to top your list, right? Ole Miss in the conversation as well, but Texas, Tennessee, Florida, those are the games you want to go to if you're a big blue supporter. Yet, if the team's just awful, I don't think there's going to be many fans there. So let's say, like, for the Texas game, let's say it's half full, Tennessee, maybe same thing, and then the Florida game, you know, a third full. If that's what you're dealing with, then I think you got to fire Mark Stoops immediately if he loses the fan base. And I think he will if, you know, they get smoked by Ole Miss, South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn, and then coming into that Florida game. Who in the hell's signing up to go watch that? So, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at. We'll see. They're saying they're not going to fire him. He's another one with this massive buyout. But we'll see where the fan support is. I think that's going to be huge to determining Mark Stoops' fate late this season. Oh, shout out our buddy Steven Up. Just gifted a membership.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gifted a membership to Mayo Corn Dog. Oh, my God. Mayo Corn Dog, welcome to the family, courtesy of Steven Up. That sounds nasty. Would you eat a Mayo Corn Dog, Shane?
For how much?
A membership, I guess.
Yes. That's why I was late.
Okay, I figured. So I've just been fielding questions from the cousins here, but how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Sorry about that. I was up there at Tennessee Legend Distillery, and one sample led to another, so I apologize for being late. But I tell you what, once you get there, you will understand why it is so desirable to stay.
Yeah, so go check him out. Da-da-da-da. Over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Yeah, and get them. One thing they told us is, you know, head down to your local package store. If they don't have it, you know, all you got to do is ask, you know, the owners, what have you, or the manager to bring him some Tennessee Legend whiskey, some bourbon, all that good stuff. That really helps them out.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll get sent there. And whenever it shows up in your store, if you'll just take a picture and send it to us, we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Okay, Shane. So, I mean, we got Missouri fans in a damn uproar.
Why?
Because they're not ranked in the preseason poll. Gregory Grogan, $5, 2 10-plus seasons by drinking company, yet left out of the top 25. Mm-mm-mm. So where are we at with that, Shane? Is this crazy?
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. You know what I'm saying? This is and it's not so much. I don't want to bash the SEC teams that are in the top 25. So much as I'm bashing the other teams that are in the top 25. You know what I'm saying? Because you tell me right now, you don't have the entire coaches poll, do you? Or just the SEC?
I have the SEC and the Big Ten.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, Big Ten, I'll give them some slight. But, you know, there's some ACCs that filtered through there. And there's, you know, it's the same old shit, Mike. We have the same argument every single year that if you were to put Team A into that conference, Mizzou would we would crown coming into this season. If Mizzou was in the ACC right now, they would not only be the favorite. Well, it'd be close, them and Clemson. I'll give Clemson a little bit there, but it's going to come down to those two teams. And the argument will be, how can you leave a one loss Mizzou team out of the college football playoffs? You know what I'm saying?
Right, but now here's where I wanted to go with this.
Yeah.
And think about this. Think hard about this. I know you don't like to think about these questions
what?
I ask.
I like to think.
Well, about these questions, it seems like when I ask you something.
Yeah, I know. No. You calling me an idiot?
No, it's like the Hangover. Is it The Hangover where the numbers are flying around?
Yeah.
This is not necessarily numbers related, all right?
Okay.
So I just throw it up on the screen. SEC's got 9 of the top 25 in the preseason.
Yeah.
And 11 of the top 27, if you want to go the top two that didn't make it.
Okay.
So that is solid, right?
Yeah.
But would you rather have 9 of the top 25, 11 of the top 27, however you want to slice it. Is that good? Or is it better to be like the Big Ten? And this is why I wrote down the Big Ten, Shane. Number 2, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Number 3, Penn State. Number 7, Oregon. Number 12, Illinois. Number 14, Michigan. Number 19, Indiana. And no one else to be found. Would you almost rather it be that way, to where you're top heavy,
yeah,
with 3 top 7, and then, you know, some other contenders? And here's why, because I think there's different ways to look at this, right? I think in the SEC, with 9 of the top 25, 11 of the top 27, you look at it and say, well, hell, we're gonna get a fun season. There's very little difference between you know, basically. Number 2 and number 12, you know what I mean? Like there's very little separation. Any Given Saturday, as Summer, I think that's the name of the Netflix show. But, you know, we kind of had that last year too, right?
Yeah.
What we were missing was elite teams. We had Texas. We had Georgia. Those were the elite. Maybe Tennessee you could throw into that conversation, but we were missing that elite. And I think that's why the SEC only got 3 in. Whereas the Big Ten, they'll get their 3, and then they get an additional 1 because it's kind of like whoever climbs the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Whereas in the SEC, we're just killing each other week in, week out, and we get to a point where South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Alabama are all fighting for that last spot, and they just say, well, hell, we can't figure it out. Let's not give any of them. Does that make sense at all? Could it be bad that the SEC's got this many ranked?
It depends on a couple of factors. If you're talking college football playoffs, it could hurt because ultimately the decisions that were made last season, a lot of that had to do with the strength of schedule or lack thereof, you know? So I don't think SEC quite got the nod there. But if you're asking me if 12 teams in is better than 4, well, yeah. I mean, you go to a county fair and you buy some raffle tickets. You want 12 of them, you know, so you can come home with that nice, you know, whatever you're going for, that new refrigerator or something. But I feel like the more opportunities, it should get you in there. But the problem that we're running into is at the end of the day, at the end of the year, when we're looking and saying, well, this 2-loss team should get in and this 1-loss team shouldn't, that's when you start looking at this top heavy and you say, hey, Ohio State's only lost 1 game, but, you know, look who they played. Look at the rest of their schedule, you know. Look at a prime example, South Carolina, and the games that they played last season, you know, top 25 after top 25, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, there's just different ways to look at it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the playoffs should be the end-all, be-all, because I think it diminishes the regular season a little bit, but that's all anybody cares about, seemingly, is playoff. I just, you know, I heard other people discussing that, and I just thought that was an interesting way. But I would much rather have the week-in, week-out enjoyment that we're going to get in the SEC.
Absolutely.
Where even if you are, Shane, on the outside looking in like an Oklahoma, like a Missouri – you got opportunities now to climb that ladder because you're beating all these ranked teams.
Yeah.
You know what?
Well, and it's also funny because if you're in the top 25, you're like, ah, that's exactly where we should be. And if you're outside, you're like, these lists don't matter.
Well, you know who does matter, Shade?
Oh, shit. Come on, Royce.
Shout out. Royce Pierce III, Shane, $100 donation, long time listener.
Thank you, cuz.
On the podcast, but never had a chance to catch you guys live. Thank you, Royce. Man, I feel, I wish I knew what team.
Maybe I should do 10 liked. Minutes late more often, you know?
Yeah, we owe Royce a long answer to something, but let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Royce. Appreciate that.
And we also owe this man, Shane.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
JR. Yeah. He just gifted Based God 333. Based God. Welcome
to the
family. Courtesy of the legend.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Thank you, JR.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, man.
And we got Gunner.
Was it Based God?
Base God. He must be one heck of a bassist down there.
Mike, I got on this like TikTok little thing the other day, and it was the bands playing. And okay. I don't, you don't appreciate good bands. You know, I was watching LSU play Neck and everything like that, but them tubas and they're getting going. It's like, man, why is this not on our timeline more often? So I saw bass and I was just thinking of the band there.
Yeah, I had a couple friends saying when I was in college that were in the band.
Yeah.
And they just, they loved it, but they hated going on the road and having to deal with rival SEC fandom.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to, though, Shane. Gunner Ward. He just gifted a membership, Shane, to AJ. AJ, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Gunner. Big LSU fan, Shane. We did top transfers.
Yeah.
With Steven yesterday.
Yeah.
Damn, Gunner. I mean, they got a lot of LSU guys on there, but not enough for old Gunner. So don't hold that against us, Gunner. That was all Steven. He'll never be back.
I like Gunner. Yeah, I was watching. I was also reading this thing about bro nouns, and you know, it's like, and I use them often, obviously. But it's like I use Gunner sometimes. What's up, Gunner? What's up, Shooter?
Buddy is your top one. I feel
buddy,
like.
Buddy, pal. What's up, brother? You know.
Yeah.
Hey, pal. I don't use pal, my chief. What's up, chief?
Well, speaking of a buddy down here, Glenn Warsaw gave us $5, Shane. Which SEC team will win the national championship?
Tennessee Vols. I mean, that's a dumb question. Oh.
Tennessee, my money, and this was a little nuts, but give me Bama. I think everybody's sleeping on Bama.
Bama. I don't know about that one, man. I get it. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm probably going to lean, if I was picking one, give me Texas right now, Longhorns. Ooh. I had Georgia, but I like the path that Texas has. Even if they lose week one, I feel like they're going to be in the dance. So, yeah, give me them Longhorns. Number one. I mean, coach's poll. Why wouldn't I go with number one here? First time ever.
Well, because it rarely works out like that.
Well, everything happens, you know. I mean, that's what they say.
I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something about, you know, whoever the SEC media, whoever they pick to win the SEC.
Yeah.
It's like 18 out of 22. They've got it wrong.
Yeah. But twice they got it right.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Broken clock is right twice a day. So just remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, hey, and speaking of, I wanted to throw those, just in case you missed it, Steven's list here, top 15.
Yeah.
We talked about 50 transfers, but these are the top 15. John Mateer, number one. Eric Singleton, the receiver, Auburn, number two. Ahmad Hardy, Mizzou, running back, three. Casey Concepcion, receiver, A&M, number four. Kevin Coleman, receiver, Missouri, number five. Yep. Jackson Arnold, everybody's mad about old Jackson Arnold at number six. Damon Wilson, linebacker or defensive end linebacker, Mizzou, number seven. Jaden Knott, running back, Oklahoma, number eight. Xavier Chaplin, left tackle, Auburn, number nine. Mansoor Delaney, cornerback, LSU, top 10. Any thoughts on the top 10? Any that you are horribly wrong or anything?
Not horribly wrong. I think all of these are very, I mean, I've seen a lot of highlight reels from almost all of these guys already. You know, I saw Concepcion come out. They were talking about the coach and stuff. They were getting me pumped up about him. I saw that snag Eric made. Now, I don't think it was from Jackson Arnold, but it still was a phenomenal catch in the back of the end zone. So, yeah, I have no quarrel with any of this.
Oh, really? Not even sure. Well, I was just waiting for you to mention old Joey. But now he does have Joey in the top 25, but you wouldn't put Joey in your top 15 transfers?
No, just because if I knew for sure that he'd be the starting quarterback week 12, you know, I don't know what holds over there in Tennessee right now, because I'm hearing different things, Mike. I'm hearing that he may not even have the job. So
right.
I it's tough for me to give you know, a top 15 spot if there's doubt that you're even starting a quarterback week three or week four.
Yeah, Mizzou fan 7 says, damn, we're the Tennessee transfer, Shane.
Then, we build. We grow.
Jesus Louise says, when is Lassen sober?
He's on that legend, man.
Oh, buddy. Okay. How about this, Shane? Because I know I just thought this was fascinating. I should have clipped it, but yeah. I didn't have time. Shout out our buddy Daybar2, CFB Matrix. Yep. Who he just runs these numbers, right? He's not one of these hot taker guys. All he does is he studies scoring efficiency for offense, defense, coach ratings, things of that nature. So he's not an SEC fan. He's actually an Oregon fan. He lives up there. But I just thought this was fascinating, Shane, because he was on with Bo Bounce, does a hell of a job, ESPN Mississippi Radio.
Yeah.
He had this to say, Shane, in the last 25 years, Mike Shula is a top 25 scoring efficiency offensive coordinator in the NFL. So the last 25 years, he's one of the best top 25 offensive coordinator, just based on his numbers, based on the talent he's got to work with and the production they get, right?
Yeah.
And he says, hell, Dal Auggins was one of the worst NFL offensive coordinators his numbers have ever seen. So now Loggins leaves, takes over the Appalachian State head coaching job. They promote Mike Shula from offensive coordinator. He says, hell, I take Shula every day and twice on Sunday. If South Carolina upgraded at offensive coordinator, how much, I mean, I didn't know if we could get even more excited about South Carolina. But if they have truly upgraded at that position, Shane, does that give you an even brighter outlook on the Gamecocks this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, but I think whoever is the offensive coordinator with Lenora Sellers is going to look pretty damn good at the end of the season. You know what I'm saying?
His argument. That's how Dal Auggins got the job, because he had Sellers.
Yeah, I mean, but let's just say he is an improvement, then absolutely. You know, they said this about that kid with the young guy with LSU was at 2019. Went on to
Joe
NFL.
Brady.
Yeah, Joe Brady. That was like a big thing, but we got to see it in real time. You know, red zone areas especially, where that OC kind of came out and kind of separated from good to average. So yeah, with a stacked team that South Carolina has on offense, and I don't want to say stacked, I probably shouldn't say that, but they got a very serviceable wide receiver room. I'm liking this running back room now that Faison's probably going to be playing. You know, and then you got Lenora Sellers. It is a pretty nice situation that Shula's walking into.
Hey, speaking of a good situation, Shane, shout out Stephen Up. Give us all the info you guys got from East Camps, because there's so much going on. He says, hey, practice number 5 for Bama. Ty Simpson, you have to throw a pick.
That's awesome.
And we got a good defensive backfield. As you know, Bama's got one of the best. Does that change anything? If that's accurate, hell, I have no clue. I'm just what he can say. He threw 1,000 touchdowns. I'd be like, damn, 1,000, really? if that's true, if Ty Simpson separated himself, no interceptions, does that change anything for you with Bama?
For me, he's the ultimate. He is the X factor for me. And I don't want to say like them being, because I won't say what show, but you know what it is. I've heard a 6-6 scenario. Uh-huh. I've heard a 10-2, 11-1 scenario. I think Ty is going to be the difference between a 9-3 and 11-1. You know, so those couple of games that are kind of sneaky and sitting in this schedule, if he really has separated himself, if he really is playing out of his damn mind, then I think we're closer to that upper part, you know? So yeah, that you should be totally excited about that.
Cousin Tony says, well, hell, maybe he ran every play.
Damn. These cousins are so smart.
Maybe that's why he's not 30.
Yeah. They're the fine print of our bold statements.
Well, here's one, Shane. I don't have many clips, but I do got two. And unfortunately, they're from the same team, so I did not purposely do this, but shout out cousin Rick, loyal cousin there. We got two from Mike Elko, Shane. Remember, it was last week.
Yeah,
you were blown away, totally blown away. As was Marcel Reed, as was Mike Elko on his Casey Concepcion. As is Steven, who's got him as a top 10 transfer. Well, don't forget Shane, they added a tight end from Texas, Amari Nyblack, who was at Alabama before. I believe he was a former five-star. Is he ready to finally live up to his five-star billing? Let's check it out.
Amari Nyblack looks amazing. I mean, he's a physical specimen, and he looks like he's catching everything they throw his way. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen so far, and also when did he first hit on your radar in the recruiting process?
Yeah, from a recruiting standpoint, I think I've addressed this before. I think it was an interesting one just because of his relationship with Coach Wiggins. And so when he entered the transfer portal, he had been with Coach Wiggins at Alabama, and so he didn't have the best year last year, but I think there was a prior track record of what he was capable of and what his potential was. And so that's what kind of created it. We were looking for a taller pass catcher at that point in the process. And so that's kind of what made it a connection and a fit. I think what you see from him is just a really tall, long, athletic kid. And so he's continuing to get comfortable, continuing to develop in the things that we're doing. And I think he has a chance to be a weapon for us this year if he can keep going.
Well, so perhaps a new weapon where they need him there at A&M. Shane, at tight end, Amari Nyblack. Again, he was at Texas last year. I don't think he did anything of significance, but they had a tight end that went on to the NFL. So maybe the role, I don't know. I don't know the backstory of why he was unsuccessful at Texas. But if he's as good as, and everybody's good this time of year, I get all that. But does that, it certainly seems as camp goes along, we got more and more weapons emerging for old Marcel Reed.
Here's the thing. This is his third stop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're almost Eric Gilbert 2.0 right now. So, I mean, without the off-field issues. So, the on-field is what we need to see. This is, obviously, he's highly touted. He is a freak athlete. He's just not been able to put it together. But if this is the stop, then absolutely. That's the ultimate safety blanket for Marcel Reed. So, has the potential, looks good on paper, but I've got to see it in game.
Yeah, well, and he also hyped up, I don't think I want to play it because it's kind of long, but Reuben Owens back from injury,
mm-hmm.
and he touted the work he had to get to just remember last year, I think he tore his knee up, and then he had to get back just for the bowl game, the work mm-hmm. that it took to get to the bowl game. Now he's 100%. Now that's another name. He was a five-star. Five-star doesn't necessarily always translate, but the buzz out of camp was it had translated before the injury. You know, I've hyped up Le'Veon Moss. I put him number one in the running back rankings we did last week.
Yeah.
Hell, he may not even be the best running back they got. It may be Reuben Owens. I don't think that's the case, but, let's say it's to the point to where they're actually like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
That could be another weapon. I mean, they may have too many weapons down there in College Station.
They may have to send some back,
Well, we ain't sending back Royce, Shane. $100 he became a member of the family. So, Royce,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Shout out, Royce. We appreciate you, buddy.
Cool name. I like it.
Yeah, let us know if you got some questions there.
RP3, they called him growing up. No, I don't know.
This show's sponsored by Royce over here. How about this? Oki Dre, looking for some Sooner magic this year. Love you guys here in Oklahoma. My go-to cast. Let's talk some Oklahoma here then, Shane, because, buddy, are you all the way bought in? I mean, all we're hearing is all this hype for them Oklahoma Sooners. And I'm at the point where I'm a little scared, Shane, because there's just like so much hype. Year two, SEC, can they get it done? What's your thoughts?
I cannot wait to see them smoke Illinois State by 50 points. You know what I'm saying? John Mater. I was watching the documentary there with SEC Mike, pretty cool on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out, check it out later. And it was the second game when Florida, when DJ came in and had like broke the record for the freshman or something like that. I feel like some record is going to be broke week one, and so will the internet. Oklahoma will not be able to control themselves, and I'm right there with them. I feel like that hype, that momentum will be perfect going into that Michigan game. Brother, I feel like there's a real shot Oklahoma has 100 points in two games.
Wow. Well, hey, how about this? So someone asked us this on the last episode. I wish I could remember which cousin it was. I did post the clip, I think. But they asked us, Shane, DJ Lagway or John Mateer, who's got more pressure this season? What would be your answer to that?
That is such a good question. I think it's John Mateer. DJ has a... He has time. He has an out. He has an injury that he's dealing with on and off, you know. I feel like DJ will be fine. John Mateer feels like this is his season. This is like his, not his last shot, but this is the shot that we've kind of built up. So I feel like pressure, if you're going to give it to one of them, I'm going to lean a little more John Mateer.
Yeah. But, you know, we're going to see this. We're going to get these comments until he actually does it in the SEC. I'm trying to see who did it. But basically, the point being was.
Hey, hell, can I ask you a question? Liquid Flames asks, and right offhand, has a transfer quarterback ever been exceptional? Like, exceptional? I would say Hendon Hooker is exceptional. Just because I wanted to mention him. But I do think that there are a couple of transfers, but immediate impacts first year, because Hendon Hooker had to work into this thing.
Yeah.
Is there one that stands out in your mind that was an exceptional?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad he asked that, because this was right where I was going to go next. How about Diego Pavia?
Yeah.
Last year, you know, I mean, we forget how bad Vanderbilt was viewed.
Yeah.
I know Shane still views him in that light, but he's dead wrong. But, you know, Vanderbilt was, I mean, they are probably worse than what people think about Mississippi State right now.
Yeah.
They earned the worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
Now, I think they have taken a step up. So I think Diego is one, and why I wanted to reference him, Shane, is because it's the same deal as John Mateer. You're not just bringing the quarterback in. You're bringing the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You're bringing in the quarterback coach. It's the same system for John Mateer. It's getting everybody else on the same page. This is year three for John Mateer in this offensive system. So it's by no means should this be, a quarterback running a vanilla system.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a graduate degree, so to speak, in this offense. So I think if John Mateer lives up to the hype, yeah. And here's the thing, too. I don't think people realize how good of a runner he is.
Mm-hmm.
He rushed for something like 178 carries last year, nearly 1,000 yards, I believe. You know, he can really hurt you with his legs.
Yeah.
But 826 yards. But the point being, Shane, if this works really well, I think we're going to see more guys more teams. If you really need to spark your offense,
yeah.
You're going to get the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, because I think that there may be something there to that, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I the Cousins are kind of hitting on some other ones too. When I say immediate, John Mateer is expected to do like a Pavia, come in and just change the program overnight. You know, Joe Burrow did that with LSU, but he didn't do it his first year down here. You know, same thing with Hendon Hooker. There's some of these guys, it's that second year where they kind of take it. I do like the Jalen Hurts. That was a good one. Did Cam come in and just take off immediately with Auburn after he left Florida? I can't remember. I can't recall if that was year two or.
He sure did, Shane. He won the Heisman Trophy and won the national championship. So
that was his that was his first year in Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the king. That would be the one. I thought it was a second-year deal.
No, he won the JUCO national championship. Then he won the NCAA. And then...
He's unreal.
He had to leave because he was not to be eligible.
Oh, well, he did do JUCO. I mean, he did have a year. No, I'm just...
Yeah. You know who else had a year, Shane?
Who's that?
Brandon Norwood just gifted a membership. What a cousin.
Thank you, Brandon.
Stephen Butler. Stephen, welcome
to the family.
We had a couple more here too, Shane. Timothy Burton, he just became a member of the channel. Timothy, welcome
to the family.
And Brandon, not only is he gifted one, Shane, he wasn't even a cousin, but he is now. So, Brandon, welcome
to the family. Did he make a mistake and accident? I love it, Brandon.
If he did, he's perfect for this family.
Brandon,
you know,
doesn't make mistakes.
To the family.
if it was a mistake, he's perfect for us. You know what?
Hell yeah, he is. Thank you. Welcome, brother. He's been around. I've seen Brandon floating around. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to put a ring on it.
Look, Cousin Jonathan says, Mike looks like the kind of stepdad that would buy his kids beer, but only drink at that.
Damn, you don't know how close you are. That's where we used to hang out over at Mike's.
Yes, sir. All right, hey, how about this? So this is what I was thinking. I don't know. This just popped into my head here, Shane.
Yeah.
Week one. /week 2. I want to go through this one at a time because I'm just so ready for football.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to see some of these games take place. But I had an interesting question, I feel like, for you.
Uh-huh.
Which of these games, so let's just do it week by week. So week one, it's kind of small type here. I apologize for that. But there's a couple games that I'm got circled here. Which ones could hurt the SEC the most? And which could hurt the team that loses the most?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm asking two different things here. And the ones that I've got on my radar, Shane, for just hurting the SEC, Auburn at Baylor, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, because good Lord, if Mississippi State can't beat Southern Miss, we're in trouble here. Syracuse, Tennessee, Texas at Ohio State, Bama at Florida State, I'll throw even this one in there. Marshall at Georgia.
Mm.
LSU at Clemson. Georgia State at Ole Miss. Because if Georgia State wins this one, we just got to hell with North Carolina. We need to add Georgia State to the conference because they've earned it. Yeah. And then last but not least, Virginia Tech at South Carolina. Which one would hurt the SEC the most?
I think hurting the SEC, Mike, is there's a couple. I'm looking at LSU Clemson because, again, you're giving ACC legs. I think Syracuse and Tennessee would be bad because they're not going to see a revamped Tennessee Volunteer. They're going to see a college football playoff team that got beat by a Syracuse team, which isn't even the best in their conference, you know. So it's going to be, you're thinking of games that are going to be judged against, like Notre Dame was last year. We kept going back to that one. So I feel like those are a couple. Now, Auburn-Baylor, I don't think it hurts the SEC more than it just hurts Auburn's momentum.
Right.
I told you, Mike, this I feel like is the most important game on the schedule. It's Friday. There's so much riding on Hugh Freeze. He basically had an opportunity to go out here with a blank check and build a football team, which he feels pretty good about right now. But that goes right out the window if you drop week one against Baylor. You think Netflix, they're going to have like extra cameras down there for season two because it is going to be absolutely, it will be disaster, man.
Yeah, they'll be interviewing me that Saturday so I can. But yeah, I think Auburn is the answer for the second part. That's going to hurt Auburn, I think.
Yeah.
Number one, more than any team. But how about this, Shane? I think LSU losing to Clemson, you can rebound from it, but given your week one issues.
Yeah.
Given that Brian Kelly's coming out here and saying, man, we have made this a priority. We've changed since January. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can't lose this game. If you do, I don't think the season's going to go quite. It still could, but I don't think it goes. And I, by that, I mean, I don't think you make the playoff if you're losing to Clemson. Because then you still have, you know, maybe one game of margin for error.
Yeah.
But I see four or five games that are losable. So I think you got to win it if you're LSU, if you're trying to make the college football playoff. Those are my top two in terms of hurting individual teams.
Yeah.
But I'll give you one more, Shane. Who is it that we like to highlight struggles early in the season yet we've been doing nothing but pumping this team up the last couple
South
weeks.
South Carolina?
Give me them Gamecocks, Shane. If you drop to Virginia Tech,
jeez,
I think we can officially say Shane Beamer and company don't know how to start the damn
season.
Fire him.
No, I'm just kidding. Coach, I'm joking.
Not fire him, but no. Again, it's – I don't know if you're going to reach your goals if you're losing to this damn team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That one's a big one. Just because the sentimental – I mean, there's going to be a lot of crazy storylines coming into this one here. But for South Carolina to have a successful season, they, too, have really got to start off with success. And I'm with you there.
And then when it comes to hurting the SEC, Shane, I think one game you overlooked that is going to kill the SEC if they lose it.
Yeah.
Bama losing to Florida State. Because, again, there's people like me touting Bama as a potential champion, not only the conference, but
right.
but the country. Florida State was a huge embarrassing. Florida State quarterbacks out here talking trash.
Yeah.
And let me ask you one other. I know this is kind of related, but maybe not. If Nick Saban... And at some point, we'll stop referencing him every show. But if Nick Saban was Alabama's coach today, is there any shot in hell that Alabama's preseason number 8?
Nope.
I think they'd be preseason number 1, probably.
Yeah. I don't know about number 1, but I'd say top 3.
Right.
Easy.
So the point being, if you're losing to Florida State... Well, I think just went like 2-10 or something crazy like that. And I know that's a different team. But if you're losing to that team... Buddy, I think the perception of the SEC takes a huge hit.
I'm like a retired working man here. Bama loses to Florida State. I think he says state. They should fire their coach. Hell yeah, retired working. He's been drinking. He's been on that Tennessee legend. I like it. But he is correct. I feel like almost, though, I think it would hurt the program more than that would hurt the SEC. Because the games that I'm really worried about are the Big Ten. Because when we get to the end of the year, hell, we should probably put Texas, Ohio State in this thing.
Yeah, I would. As I don't think that hurts Texas at all.
No.
I think it hurts the SEC, though.
Yeah. And so any of the SEC Big Ten matchups, that's the ones I'm worried about the most. And if it's not... I kind of lean more toward the personal loss, but the Clemson one for me is one of those that Clemson's going to be, we're going to be putting them on the pedestal, saying they're a shoe-in for the college football playoffs. But if they get smoked week one, I think there's a reevaluation of how strong this conference really is.
Yeah, well, you know who's not getting smoked, Shane?
The legend.
Tennessee Legend Distillery just gifted a membership, Shane.
Hell yeah.
To Oki Dre. Oki, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Tennessee Legend. Appreciate you.
We don't deserve them. We don't deserve them.
Or Oki, because
he
gave us 20 bucks.
That's why if you go to your package store, you tell them about Tennessee Legend.
Yeah.
They're going to make you a family member sooner or later.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so I wanted to spread it out to week two. And again, I'm not trying to look ahead too much, but you know, the teams that don't have great games week one,
yeah,
they got great games week two. You know, the teams that have great games week one, they play cupcakes week two. So unfortunately, that's where we're at. But week two, Shane, these are the games that I got my eye on here. Mm-hmm. Which ones hurt the SEC, and which ones will hurt the program this season?
Yes.
The most. Kansas at Mizzou. I put that to the top of my list here. Arkansas State at Arkansas. First time they've ever played. This has been a whole thing, their whole state. They refuse to play Arkansas State. Yep. They're finally getting them. Louisiana Tech at LSU, buddy. Can't lose that one. Michigan at Oklahoma. And Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech. Which one would hurt the SEC the most, you think, week two?
Michigan, Oklahoma. Did you put them on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Because I don't think Michigan's that good. And I know Oklahoma is a better football team, but all that momentum, that John Mateer hype, all of that goes right out the window if you drop that one there. And constantly You know, I mean, the SEC chants would be kicking off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Last year, I remember, like, week two, we were sitting there saying, that does the SEC suck? I don't want to do that, man. I want to go out here and just destroy these other football teams. How can we sit here and talk about how strong this conference is if we can't close games like it? Oklahoma should be able to beat Michigan.
Right. Now, here's the team I think that stands the most to lose week two, just personally. Arkansas. Arkansas State, Butch Jones. It is in Little Rock, so it's not in Razorback Stadium, but we it's like customary, we gotta say it. We love Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
You lose that game, it should be your last. I mean, that's inexcusable if you're an Arkansas fan.
You lose to Lyle Jones, I will start saying I hate Sam Pittman. Don't make me do it, coach.
And then I think one other one that could really derail their season, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech. Again, it may not kill you. Virginia Tech could be much improved, but you beat them last year. There's not a ton of margin for error for Vanderbilt. If you're trying to keep his train going, you got to beat programs like Virginia Tech because you're not going to find a ton of conference wins. You may find a couple, but I think you got to sweep your non-conference if you're really going to have a nice year two with Diego and company.
Can't believe we're talking about Vandy already. I love it, man. Seriously, I give you a hard time. I watched I keep referencing your wonderful performance on Netflix, and you forget. You honestly, I forgot just where they were coming into last season. You know, you talk about just a total shift. They did it, and that's the one that I feel like should have the most pressure because Coach Lee is, it feels like he's kind of holding this together, but if they come in here with another 10 loss season, 9 loss season, then all of a sudden Vanderbilt's right back to where they were.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of Clark Lee, I just watched today's press conference. It was pretty bad, but he was getting on his players' ass for, you know, not having that, that edge they needed to have. And hell, we are 3 weeks away from campus, so I think that's what you like to see. And I really do think Clark Lee's a really good coach.
Yeah.
But nobody could tell it because he didn't have any players.
Yeah.
Now that they have money to spend, they can attract talent, and now I think you're starting to see it on the field. I just I'm rooting like hell that they can kind of carry it over because I don't want them to be a doormat. I don't want any doormats. No. I hope Mississippi State's better. I hope Mark Stoops, you know, throws a damn bottle of bourbon in my face. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want Kentucky to be better, too. Just probably not going to happen.
Not going to happen, but could happen, you know?
Yeah.
I listen to these KSR boys. I tell you, they're kind of getting into it now, you know? They're like, well, maybe it is a good team. So, I don't know. I'm buying in. Maybe it is a better Kentucky team than I give them credit for.
Yeah, everybody's undefeated. Everything's optimistic, and we're fired up for the season.
And here comes Toledo.
What? Any thoughts on? I don't know when he said it, but I did see Mark Stoops said, "Hey, we're not overlooking Toledo. Looking ahead to Ole Miss." Could you imagine another SEC coach being asked if they're overlooking Toledo?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Nick Saban gave us 25 minutes of why UTC was good. So, no, this is coach speak. But
the way I took it was more like, hey, they could beat you if you don't overlook them. Yeah,
just letting everybody know so they're not surprised if it happens. Yeah, that seems like what I would do, you know. I always do that when I play golf with somebody new, just remind them that I'm a shitty golfer. And that way, if I play well, I'm like, hey, that I did well. But if I play shitty, I'm like, I warned you.
All right. Well, hey, you know, I kind of sped through all the everything I came prepared with. You got anything else here before we jump off?
I will be here tomorrow morning. I promise. I know the cousins were there. I had internet issues. We are obviously rocking and rolling. So look forward to seeing everybody at SEC Hangover in the morning. I will say this, Mike. We're in that time. I hate this window. I hate these next. I mean, I love it because we're getting football content, but sometimes it's the content we don't want, you know? So I just, sometimes I'm afraid to open up Twitter and I'm like, please God, no injuries, you know, please don't happen. But that's kind of where we're at. But this is, these teams are starting to mold and we're starting to get some of these guys that are at camp, man, they're getting you pumped up about guys I didn't even know about. I didn't even have them on the radar. And now I'm like, oh, like Knoblauch, maybe I should be paying attention to him down in Texas A&M.
I think you should, Shane. Speaking of something you should pay attention to, Sooner Guy 100, what do you think about Oklahoma not being ranked in the coaches poll? I believe this is the first time, Shane, since 1999.
Yeah.
That Oklahoma has not been ranked in the preseason coaches poll.
Yeah.
Honestly, Shane, I think that's probably fair. I mean, hell, they had a losing record last year. It's not totally based on last year or anything, mm-hmm. but go out there and earn it. I don't think you want anything given to you, and I don't know that they deserve it. Now again, I think they're going to be much improved, but who in the hell cares what I say? They got to go out there and do it.
Yeah. Just think about all the push-ups I could have done back in 99, you know? I was in good shape back then. That was a good year. No, I know. This is fuel. This is fuel, and this is what coaches use. You know, I saw Billy Napier talking about this. That, forget, the outside noise is there. Just don't worry about it. And I think that brings that locker room closer together, and a better team is a close team. So, yeah, I feel like this is fuel. This is fuel that they need.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because, again, I know you see Tennessee, you want them to be ranked. You want to have like a rank streak or whatever.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't know that it really matters, but Tennessee, wherever they were, like 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
Would you feel better about Syracuse if Tennessee was unranked? And then it got to the, they're like, what the hell? We just made the playoff. Now we're unranked. I would almost rather have that as a Tennessee fan. You know, that fuel that you got to go earn it.
Yes and no. And here's my no, Mike, because growing up, if you weren't in the top 25, you didn't get to see any replays, you know, like back in the day. Now, obviously we got the SEC network and they're going to go through all the games, but you have to wait 25 minutes to see your team. You know, you're in the top 25. You're going to get it within the first 5 minutes. So yeah, there is some trade-off for not being in that grouping. And sometimes, cause we saw it many years ago, Auburn, you know, had to split the national champ, whatever, you know, it's like, because they started so far back, they didn't have the opportunity to have a home field advantage and whatever. So I feel like, or if they're playing in today's time. So I think top 25 is important.
Hey, shout out Cousin Jonathan. He says morning hangover is a banger. And Cousin Benny says Shane took the hangover too literally.
Oh, you know, and this sucks because I got all this stuff together. I mean, I worked hard on it because I mean, it was an opportunity to talk about Cracker Barrel, which I'm still going to do tomorrow. We're power ranking the 10 best items on the Cracker Barrel menu, but we are going to talk a little football as well. So I just look forward to hanging out to everybody and getting their day started.
Hey, Cousin Gunner gave us $5, Shane. LSU just had his first pad scrimmage. The defense dominated. How scary is LSU if they have a top tier defense? I think they showcased that last year.
Yeah.
When they were kicking ass and looked to be playoff bound, and then the defense fell apart. But again, that was last year. We're in year two. If LSU's got a top tier defense, they're a playoff lock, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know what's going on there. There was an image that Baker put out on Twitter. Did you see that?
So no, I missed it.
You remember I'm terrible with the Marvel guys, but. Thanos, you remember when he's putting all the diamonds? So he's putting like the last jewel or the last thing inside the glove. And I'm trying to figure out this, like, did he just get the last piece that he needed to make this defense work? So
maybe they added another guy out of the portal.
No. I just feel like this is a year that we have to have a major, and you saw this with, was it Weeks? He was talking about this. I think I heard him in one of his pressers just saying going into year two, it's like the newness has wore off. We know where we need to be. And we know that we're able to do more. I'm paraphrasing, but he's talking about a chaotic defense, you know, to really get these quarterbacks, you know, on their toes. So I'm pumped up about the defense, but talking season's over. We got to see it. Baker, you got to bring it. And if LSU defense is legit, pair it with this offense, then shit, maybe J.D. Pickell was right when he said this is a national championship team.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Aaron Harmon. Shady, give us $5. I love his question. Hot take, which four of the SEC teams won't be in the top 25 by the end of the season? So I think what he's saying of the nine that are ranked.
Yeah.
Let's pick four that will be unranked by the end of the season. Most likely, Shane, Florida. I would say. Come on. Yeah, I mean, injuries, that's fair. We could, because they're boom or bust.
Yeah.
I've been saying that all year. Throw Tennessee there.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is fair, I think.
Texas A&M.
I got A&M in the playoff.
Well, that's your list. My list has Texas A&M, Florida, yeah. Ole Miss.
Well, that's it. I mean, you're just picking the lowest rated ones.
That's smart. It's a smart move. I mean, you know, if I had to pick somebody in the top 10 that uh-huh. most likely will not be there, I would say Alabama.
I'll say LSU.
Okay. You just picked the lowest one.
Well, no, I'm saying out of the but I would sub LSU for A&M.
Let me just go over here to Alabama. All right, so to jump to fall out, uh-huh. I feel like it's going to be late in the season. So when I'm looking at this, that November stretch, and I'm not mm-hmm. saying this happens. I'm just saying if it were to happen, it'd be LSU, Oklahoma, and Auburn. I feel like that's what's going to happen. I don't think a 6-6 is on the board here, but I don't think 8-4 is completely out of this world. And 8-4, and I'm looking at Georgia, potentially a South Carolina, Tennessee, one of those two, an LSU. To be out of the top 25, I feel like it has to be at the end of the year just falling apart. So that's kind of why I picked those.
That's a lot of
damn
ifs and buts
happen.
And candy yeah. and nuts. You know what?
Yeah, that's a tough ask. But I had to pick one, so road tie.
All right, I think that's a perfect place to end it, Shane. We've just killed the hopes of Alabama there. Not me, Steven. That was Cousin Shane. But that's all I got, buddy. I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow. We got some good interviews lined up. We're going to be filtering those out throughout the week. Yep. So a lot of content coming your way. Appreciate you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.